police department.
Go ahead.
Actually good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that cool?
All right. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. 602. If I could first have a roll call.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Marcus?
Late or excused, we shall see.
Okay, and Supervisor Perez.
Okay. Next item B, we will have the approval of the summary proceedings from February 18th, 2015 regular meeting. Any changes or discussions?
I read through one. I didn't see any mistakes.
Okay.
So I'm moving to accept the
meeting. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So approved. Next item, consent agenda. We have one item in email. Do we need to receive a file or do we need to have it taken off? Okay, do I have a motion?
I kind of wanted to take it off, although I wasn't here. You may have already discussed it today.
Well, yeah, we were in discussion at the last meeting. This is a new correspondence.
Oh, okay. It's just a follow-up asking for her contact information. I think that's the only thing. And just a written documentation of what happened.
Do you want to go off and put it?
If it's already resolved per discussion last time,
I don't know that, that if this email was discussed or resolved, so okay, we'll go ahead and follow it off.
But then,
all right, we'll put it down.
I'm trying to figure out how to make this in policy.
I don't know. Okay. All right. Do I need a motion to take it off of?
No, no. Just a request to remove it, and it would be.
Move that down. All right, item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
My apologies. If you removed it from consent, you need to discuss it now while it's...
Oh, okay. I thought we had to move it to new business. Okay, my bad. All right. So, Sue?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to discuss it now.
Okay. I've got to press it's basically, is this gentleman here, Lindsay?
I'm here.
Okay. Forgive me, I've been gone for two meetings, so I'm just kind of catching up. But it appears that it was a very violent situation you experienced, but it was your own cat. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. And she just has some concerns about how the dangerous dog policy is written and is enforced. And to be honest with you, I don't remember the exact details of how we wrote that.
It's pretty detailed.
Yeah, and I didn't look it up in preparation for tonight, but I just wanted to bring it up that this is probably related to that, and it would probably be a good idea for you to have an opportunity to look at that ordinance that we wrote, 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that addresses some of this stuff, and if it looks like it's not being enforced, then we can follow up on that. And I'd be happy to do that with you,
okay.
Aside from here.
So how do we get in contact and follow up?
I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Anybody
well, can it be on the record? Because a lot of times it's stated that there's never a follow-up or...
We can put it on as old business for next meeting. Is that appropriate?
Requires a motion and a second.
Okay. Before we do that, if I could address this. The ordinance itself has been written and is very detailed. I know in this particular case, there's been a lot of time invested by staff to try to be sure and align the concerns and fears that are here. I believe that staff has abided by what is necessary within the ordinances.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask staff to
respond.
A
little bit. I know that I've spoken with the Haneys at length several times and just kind of explained some of the process and a little bit about the proceedings and the dangerous orders and how they work in it. I don't think I ever actually was able to give you a copy of the ordinances, but I showed them how to get to the ordinance so that they could look at it themselves. And I was also in contact with the Haneys just a couple of days ago to let them know some pertinent information. So There has been some communication back and forth just about procedures and stuff like that.
I think the main concern is initially...
You know what? If we're going to have you talk, if we can have you step up to the podium, okay. Identify yourself. You've got 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Lindsay Haney, and do you need the address?
Yes, where you live.
My name is Lindsay Haney, and the address is P.O. Box 10418, Bakersfield, California, 93389. And the main concern is when we called, when our cat was being killed by two pit bulls, we called and no one responded. Not animal control, not the sheriff, and we called the police.
Can I ask you to what pertains to this particular email? Because we don't want to review the case yet again.
The email stated, and when I spoke last time, I think one of the concerns was to try to work together with animal control to have a system when somebody calls in a crisis situation on the ways that they would respond in a crisis situation. Because we called and we met the criteria. The owners of the dogs were not there, and we had one dog, and we were told that we needed to keep the dog controlled, and we couldn't. And the neighbors were trying to hold it, but they have cats, so they couldn't just let this dog roam the neighborhood. And we were told that if the owners of the dogs are not there, somebody is supposed to respond. And then there was just another case that we saw tonight. Our neighbor showed, so I don't know all the details, but a person was attacked by a dog, and they had commented that nobody called. They had the same situation with us. The sheriff didn't respond. Animal control didn't respond. So our main concern is, in a crisis situation, when an animal is being killed, who is supposed to respond? And if there's certain guidelines, that it be laid out and abided by. And also in the first email, the hearing was done by Janice, and so I just had questions. I wanted to meet with you and ask you about the content of the results of the hearing, but I was told that we couldn't speak with you. So I just wanted to know about that.
Well, ultimately, the hearings are held in a private venue, addressing all the issues and discussing the matters, and then the decisions are made. I know that you have been in contact quite a bit with Director Cullen and his staff, and they've been working with you to help you to understand the processes by which everything is handled. I'm not sure when you say that they're not responding what you mean by that.
No one came out.
Okay. And they've asked you to hang on to the animal. Ultimately, if you let the animal go, it's a question of staff, you know, of the officers being able to get there from wherever they may be. They're not sitting in an office waiting for a phone call. They're out doing their jobs all over this county. And so they may be able to get there in 5 minutes, they may not. And so I think that, you know, we have a very good dangerous dogs ordinance in place. We worked on it for, good God, what, 2 years?
Years.
You know, and we had an attorney that drafted it, that's the DA, within the DA's office. So we had the best of the best working on this. And I think it addressed a whole lot more issues than we ever had before in any ordinance that we've ever had. Certainly, there may be issues that we need to discuss concerning the manner in which a call is made. But I know we've gone through the calling process over the years as well. And we've got good people on the phones, and we've got a good process in place. Do we want to take a look at it again based on some of your concerns? I see, you know, sure, we can take a look at that. But beyond that, you know, unfortunately, our departments are stretched throughout this county, not just animal control, but everybody. And there's, you know, they do the best job they can. We have wonderful people that work in animal control, and they really do a great job. And it's really unfortunate, the situation that you've had to endure. But we have been doing everything that we can to address this issue and help you with it. So, you know, at that, I'm happy to review this. We can go over it with staff again as far as, you know, addressing some of your concerns to see if there's anything further that we can do.
Okay. And then I know there was, like, a thing that I had brought up about the 36 months, that if an animal is abiding by whatever the regulations are, then that could be wiped clean. So I had a question about that. And we want to try to help, too. It just seems like from talking to other people that it is kind of an ongoing problem with when they respond, especially like on the weekends or after hours, because we were told to hold the dog until Monday. So if there's just maybe like, you know, some different protocol or something that people understand, because in talking with animal control, we met the criteria for somebody to respond out to us, and they didn't. And then in this case that I just saw, I don't know the details, but it was a person being attacked, and they had said nobody came out. So we want to work together, but to try to get something in place to try to help people in the future.
Yeah, we will definitely, I will, work with the director to see if there's anything that slipped through the cracks.
Okay.
And certainly if there's corrections to be made, we will.
Okay. And then also to, protect the rights of the victims, too. Like, their personal information is not being given out to the other people involved. So just that as well.
We operate within the confines of the ordinance.
Okay. Well, I thought our name and things like that were given out to the other party. So we
have I couldn't address that. I don't know.
Okay.
But we work within... everybody operates under the way the ordinance is written and presented. That is our guidelines on how we handle things. And that's why we always have a county attorney present at that time as well to make sure that everybody is following.
If that could just be checked on, you'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I just have a quick question. Who did you call? You said you called a couple numbers?
We called Animal Control, and we also called the Sheriff Department. We're in the county. And then I don't know if we called, well, we called 911. And then it was just, yeah. So we were just getting relayed back and forth. It would be one would say, call Animal Control, it's their issue. And then another would call Animal Control. And we actually had a captain of the Sheriff Department come to our house and speak to us about the whole issue. And also another concern, it's different, but when we're relaying the information, sometimes it gets confused when they're writing it down, taking the report. So we had to correct some things that we saw because they were putting it was the neighbor's dog. Well, it wasn't the neighbor. It was actually a lady across a major highway, real road that came. So some of the information was messed up. So just kind of the communication was... gets broken.
So when you called 911, did you say it was an emergency that you're being attacked or
I wasn't being the cat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we told Animal Control and we specifically told them that they killed our cat. And my mom and I both called, and also our neighbor. So we went and got the phone records from that too.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Seems just to summarize. Seems like there's kind of three issues. The dangerous dog ordinance, which it looks like that part of it has already been followed the process and addressed. The second one is the response protocol concerns. And then the third one is the confidentiality issue. Maybe the county council can help us with the confidentiality issue.
Yes, ma'am. The dangerous dog order hearing is an administrative hearing in lieu of taking the matter to Superior Court. And that means all reports are public records. That means the victim's name is a public record and is subject to release.
Okay. I kind of thought that was the case, but I wanted confirmation on that. So really the main issue that's kind of up in the air is the response time and the jurisdictional issue, whether it's animal control or the sheriff, et cetera. Nick, I'd be happy to sit down with you and this young lady and talk about that, or Janice can do it, or I don't know.
I'm open to any discussion that we'd like to do.
I just don't want to tie up all our time here.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But maybe set up a time later. Janice, do you want to be involved, or is it okay with you if I just sit down with you?
No, I think I need to be there. Okay. If it's within our purview.
I'm sorry. Beware. I kind of lost.
We just kind of want to sit down and look at the response time issues.
So long as there are less than three members of the board there. Yes.
Two
members of the board is acceptable, yes. Although you could, you are allowed to set up special meetings so long as you post notice of the agenda and comply with the Brown Act. You could have a special hearing dedicated to that.
Yeah.
I was going to say that might be a bit overkill, but yeah. If you only have two board members, then yes, you can meet.
So maybe we can set up a time when the four of us can sit down.
Yeah.
And is there anything
that
the board of supervisors
would like
to contact
us
because they know they're saying that you have to present the minutes and stuff to them, and if you wanted to get things changed, you would go through them?
What do you want to get changed?
Specifically the 36 months, I think if somebody has...
It's called rewriting the ordinance.
Yeah.
And it starts here.
Okay. So I would like to get that process going. I've helped my aunt write bills before, so I'm okay with the time process that it takes and the effort and the work, so if you are willing, I will help. I don't know if it's... We can meet and talk later about it.
You can treat this as a request for the board to review the ordinance and take it under consideration. You can treat this as a request to agendize the matter for the next hearing. Either way, it requires a motion and a second.
Okay, agendize it for what hearing?
For the next meeting.
Okay.
in April.
Did the 36 months come from another ordinance law? Where was it pulled from?
This is the one that we wrote.
But did you pull it from another state law? Because it made, there may be something in state law.
From the ordinance.
As well, so I'm just wondering if it was pulled down from...
It's fairly common. Excuse me, Liz Keough, loudmouth.
Do you need her up on the mic?
I hate to ask,
yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I have seen ordinance before, and 36 months is standard, and I was just trying to find that out for you, but
go ahead,
I can pull it from the top of my head.
Put it down the shade again. Turn it on.
You don't think I speak loud?
I'll help us.
No, you don't speak loud.
Liz Keough, and... When we were working, the commission was working on the ordinance. I did a lot of research into some of the items that were being brought up, and this 36-month thing is very common. Other jurisdictions have 48 months, but 36 seems to be the mode when a time frame is put in, and in most of them, it is put in.
Thank you.
If my memory serves me correctly, we had tiers, and the most dangerous top tier was either for the life of the
that
animal
was life.
Or
person.
Or to euthanize the animal.
Right.
But that was generally if it attacked a human. So I think this was kind of the second tier, which fell under the 36 months.
So, if I could, we're talking about dangerous or potentially dangerous animals?
Exactly.
And it's a 36-month period that the dangerous order stays in existence on that animal if there's no occurrences of any nature within that 36-month period. And like Ms. Keough said, and the commission has said, that's fairly standard, at least in the state of California, for animal control organizations to have that dangerous order stick for 3 years. Or like Liz, I think, said, I think San Bernardino does 48 months, but...
Yeah,
it's pretty standard.
Okay. Yeah,
I would recommend if this is correct protocol, write something up and present it to us at the next meeting, and then we vote on it at that time whether or not to pass it to the board of supervisors.
I don't think that's the process we can follow. If we want, ultimately, if I'm understanding correctly, if we want to readdress the dangerous dog owner in any way, shape, or form, then we, as a commission, need to make a motion to put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
That is correct.
And revisit the ordinance.
Right, but she can provide documentation for that agenda item, is what I'm saying.
Yes, you would need a motion to add it to the agenda, and then any documents could be provided to Animal Control for inclusion in the agenda. I believe that's all that would be necessary.
All right.
Okay, so can we just do that? Put it on the agenda.
Make a motion?
Next time, and then you can submit whatever you feel is appropriate. I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so I guess we will have that on the agenda.
And then
did you get the vote?
And then we'll set up another time
yes,
to talk about the response issues.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, on to D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Please be sure everybody's phones are off or muted. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. So we will start at first table. Judy? Liz?
I think I need to speak.
Is this on something that has not been part of the agenda?
I don't know. It's concerning the Brown Act that you keep bringing up.
That's acceptable.
All righty.
Okay. Now, we're not Lucia Haney, and I'm not attacking animal control.
Sorry,
I'm really with animals. The Brown Act keeps bringing up, and I've kind of researched it a little bit, and we were the reporting party, and I thought that the Brown Act protects the reporting party, and our name is not supposed to be listed where the victim can get at it and know where we live. And
the Brown Act is the Open Meeting Act. You may be looking at a different Brown Act. There are actually a couple of different ones. The Brown Act under the Government Code is the open meeting law. That does not impact the dangerous dog hearing because, as I said, the dangerous dog hearing is in lieu of a superior court action, which is not subject to the Brown Act.
The Brown Act has more to do with how we conduct
this
ourselves,
meeting.
The commission, and anybody on commissions, board of supervisors, and all of that.
Okay.
And unfortunately, your appearance at a hearing and your sending an email would act as a waiver under the Open Hearing Act of the release of your names. And I don't believe your address has been released in hearing.
Okay, well, see, we don't know what's happened mail-wise with this, what happened to us.
Okay.
So we're kind of, you know, seeking questions. Nick has been very cordial.
He has.
I know he has.
In a different section that this matter's already been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to continue to discuss this, it needs to be next month.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Next table. Anybody? Bob? Third table. Going across. Fourth table. Anybody? Anybody? Joan? Got anything to report?
No.
Sue? You got anything?
I actually can get around today.
Yay!
The good news is I've got a brace that's fitting and comfortable so I can walk.
The bad news is I was late.
That's okay.
Okay. Is it on?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Sue Bennett, Kern Humane Society. Just a quick, we had our coupon day on the 7th of March, I have to think what month it is, and had 100 people show up to get 159 vouchers from us of one sort or another, and that's pretty good because what I'm seeing coming back is about 75%.
Cool.
Where we since our vouchers are good for 2 months and then the vets have another month to send them back to us, I'm usually paying for about 200, 205, 220 vouchers a month. Comes kind of weird, but it works out. So anyway, that's a plus on our side. We're getting it done. Lots less than I used to see, and I think it's because of the many options for people to get assistance, and so they're not just choosing us, they're going to other localities to pick up vouchers, which is great because I can use those for other things. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? That was it? Okay. All right. That concludes public presentations. Next is e-staff announcements. Did you receive a file or things you'd like to report, Director?
I have a few things.
Okay.
Good evening. Nick Cullen, Interim Director of Kern County Animal Services. I would like to bring a few things to everybody's attention on the director's report and one thing that's not in the director's report. The department hosted its second Will You Be Mine adoption promotion in February, which we ran from February 13th and through February 14th, so February 13th and 14th. All dog adoption fees were reduced to just $20, and all cat adoption fees were reduced to just $10. A total of 42 animals were adopted during that event, which I think is awesome. Also, in February, the Kern County Animal Services partnered with 2nd District Supervisor Zach Scrivener to provide spay-neuter surgeries to residents in the Mojave area. I was there myself. It was a fun time. The people were excited to be out there. 30 animals were spayed or neutered during this event. Special thanks to Dr. Hyman for performing those surgeries. In addition to the spay-neuter clinic held that day, we also provided low-cost vaccinations and some other services. We did also issue spay-neuter vouchers out there as well. But we did 24 rabies vaccinations, 29 DHPP vaccinations, 9 FVRCP, 46 licenses, 43 microchips, and it's nice to be able to go out in those outlying areas and let the folks know, even though we're not here all the time, we do support you and our services are still available. Also, Kern County Animal Services participated in the World Spay Day event 2015. World Spay Day is an annual campaign in the Humane Society of the United States. It helps shine a spotlight on spaying and neutering companion animals as a way to save the lives of pets in feral community cats. For that day in particular, we reduced the cost or the price of our low-income vouchers from $20 to $10. And just that marketing campaign and the reduction in the cost of the voucher resulted in 136 vouchers being issued that day alone. It's 136 less animals that hopefully will be breeding in this community. And lastly, I did want to bring up that I may have mentioned it once before, but Commissioner Blackburn had mentioned to me that he wasn't aware. But back in February, I think February 3rd, the department made the decision to expand the availability of the Kern County Animal Services spay-neuter vouchers. Our voucher program, it's an in-house voucher program. It is funded in part by the $250,000 that was given to the department by the Board of Supervisors. That voucher program, it's a $20 copay. It covers the entire cost of a surgery for a dog or cat. It is called low income. However, the low income is based, it's 200% of the federal poverty line, which makes it so that just about anybody that walks through our doors can get a voucher, which is what we want. We want people to get the vouchers that want them. We made the decision to expand availability, whereas prior to February 3rd, if you wanted a spay-neuter voucher for your pet, you either had to come to a Wednesday night clinic from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., or you'd meet us at one of our off-site clinics twice a month. So it wasn't real simple and easy and efficient for people to get access to these vouchers. As of February 3rd, we made the vouchers available any day of the week as long as the shelter is open. So during normal business hours, we also expanded it to the Mojave facility, the Lake Isabella Animal Shelter, and we actually went to Ridgecrest and talked to the Ridgecrest shelter, and they issue our spay-neuter vouchers as well.
Do they have a vet out there now?
They do. There is one of the only vet in Ridgecrest, as far as I know, is on board.
Okay.
They are accepting our vouchers. The difficult thing is the Lake Isabella shelter does not have a veterinarian that's on board and accepts those vouchers. But they can get those vouchers from the Lake Isabella shelter, the Ridgecrest shelter, the Mojave shelter, as well as the Bakersfield location on the Greenville. So I just wanted to bring that up and make sure everybody knows that. Spread the word. Vouchers are available. Spay-neuter works. We want to reduce the overall intake of animals. And it'd be nice to see someday an empty animal shelter.
Can I ask a quick question regarding that? We met last week and we went over all this. And I didn't bring the data with me, but tell them how many we did like last year versus so far this year, those numbers.
So
comparison.
I think what Commissioner Blackburn is saying, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't have exact. But in the 6 months, say June of 2014 until December of 2014, we issued around, 400 or 500 vouchers. Well, since January 1st, we've issued twice the amount of vouchers in the prior 6 months. So the need is there, the want is there, people know spay and neuter, they want to get it done, they just need access to it, it needs to be easily and readily available, and the public will come.
And the response percentage is pretty high on that still.
It is, but it's tough to tell because we started issuing a majority of vouchers in February. It's only March. So as Judy will tell you, yeah, it takes some time.
Historically, that particular voucher just has really...
Historically, it's about an 85% redemption. Yeah. It's very successful.
Now, with the $250 that the supervisors gave us, that's in addition to the money that the ordinance put aside out of the... 5% or what,
10% or whatever it was.
So the original intent of the voucher program for the department was to take 10% of the licensing revenue and put it towards a trust that is used to fund the voucher program,
right,
which was always a little difficult because we had a finite amount of money to fund these vouchers, so we would be issuing like 19 vouchers a month when there was obviously much more demand than that.
Right.
So the fact that this money is there and it's being used and we're getting these vouchers into people's hands that want them and they're using them, that's what's gonna correct the overpopulation of domesticated animals.
So is there, are you able to meet the demand now with that extra money?
Yes.
Oh, good. So
far. And we still have a ways to go before June.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And then additional staff reports with that. We have, you talk about numbers.
Am I next?
You're next.
I believe you are. Cool.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
Do we have any commissioner announcements or reports?
You missed F.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I'm sorry. I got you out of your chair. Oh,
I can get up again.
Do we have any commissioner's reports?
She looks at me.
You've been gone a while.
I've been way out of touch and out of loop. But I do have a new knee. It's working.
Yeah.
Happy about that. And I am retired. I'm not a pushover. I am retired now. So my apologies for all the things I've dropped the ball on the last few months, and I'm slowly trying to get back to the program. Okay. So that's it.
More comments? Okay. Great.
Yeah. One of the commissioners suggested that If you don't know, it's animal control commissioner's responsibility to hold the potentially dangerous vicious dog hearings. So I held one this month already, and since I have been seated as a commissioner, I've held approximately.
Yeah, I need a motion to receive and file.
Other commissioners are doing that as well.
That's your turn.
And one question for Nick: is there an evacuation plan in place for the outlying areas, specifically in regards to horses?
For owned animals?
Yeah.
We do not have an emergency evacuation plan. We do not have a grand evacuation plan. The department has worked in years past with Bear Valley on their evacuation plan, only because they're very much susceptible to fire. And I know that we worked with them to develop their own program, but we do not have an emergency plan that I know of.
Yeah, that whole plan never happened. It kind of fell apart. So yeah, I was just curious with the drought and how dry it is, and up in that area, there probably should be a plan.
There is a general county, as far as I know, a general county emergency plan that includes animal services. There is nothing specifically for equine or
not yet. Yeah. Because the fire department, I was working with them too.
Yeah.
And when the mandate came down that they had to, there's stages to the process. And so the last stage they were working on had to do with disabled people and people with, you know, infirm people and things like that. So that's as far as they've gotten in the process. And the animals, when I was talking to the last at the fire department, they said, keep working on it, we'll back you up.
So I'm just asking, because I used to live in Orange County in the canyons and was evacuated during the Santiago fires. And we had a plan in place with our group, and we evacuated 200 horses, and it worked really well. So I would just like to look into that, maybe meet with you, and talk about if it hits up there, what are we going to do?
There's some groups we can work with too. We've kind of been working on
that
for a few years.
Yeah. Historically, animal control has done a really good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we've
had them mobilized to LeBec and Fraser Park.
Yeah. And we've brought private enterprise. You know, we've had private parties come in to help.
So limited on transportation. You guys, I know that you'll be there, but on transportation and getting them out and So there's just a lot of areas I'd like to just discuss.
Cindy's all away. I haven't heard from her.
Cindy's kind of out of it right now.
Is she? But I know she's been really involved in that kind of stuff.
She was in the past. She's kind of.
She did a little seminar on it once.
I went to.
Yeah,
it was about a while ago.
Yeah.
But we've got an entire list of people that we call.
Great.
Because when they had the fires in Lebec and beyond, we were on the horn.
Okay.
Getting different ranches and people in the animals out. All right. So, but definitely that's something that I would like to see us moving forward work on. Anything we can work on to help them make their job easier and help the community in any situation is a good thing.
I'll get with Nick on that. Just that you need something else in your plate, I'm sure.
Okay, and so I need to back up. Do you have anything concerning commissioner reports?
No, I want to make some comments on.
Okay, so I'm going to close commissioner reports, and I have to back up to staff announcements. Because I jumped the gun thinking that we had another report. So before we receive and file, Commissioner Blackburn has some comments and questions.
Okay. Basically, I wanted to kind of go through the report just a little bit. Pages aren't numbered. Let's see. I guess it's page 7. Yeah, they are numbered. For everybody that has a report, if we look at year-to-date, total. So this is all unincorporated areas of Kern County and City of Arlington. That's really the page that I examine because it takes out Bakersfield out of the equation. So I can page 7. Yeah. So I can compare apples to apples a little bit better. What we have here versus last year at this time is about 265 more outcomes, and we had a bunch more income. So when you have more income, you have more outcomes. The thing I was pleased with was if you compare the top column is 2014, the second column is 2015. We've got 10 more adoptions, 25 more rescues, 34 more return to owners. I really would, as 25% increase, I'm really pleased about that one. Mm-hmm. Getting the animals back to the owner, I'm not sure what is going on differently. If you could tell me, that'd be great. But my comment is it's improving to a point that is really impressive. And if you're doing something different, I wouldn't mind knowing what you're doing. That's really good. Of course, the euthanized numbers are up a bit. I don't like to see that, but that's what happens when you have more intakes. One more transfer, 51 more TNRs. And what I did is on the miscellaneous, I take the miscellaneous out of the totals, and I like to look for... what are the live outcomes? Because that's really the bottom line here. After we do all this work, what is the live outcomes of where we are? Just to kind of give you a track record, 2013, I dug out two years ago's records, our live outcome numbers were 40%. 2014, it jumped up to 51.5%. That's a 28% improvement, which is really good. So far this year, 2015, we went from 51.5% to 61.2%, which is really good. And that's just the first 2 months of this year. But Chairman Anderson made the announcement in November that we have as a goal to make Kern County a no-kill community. That's a long-term goal. We understand that. But when you go from 51 to 61, I mean, that makes everything that much more impressive and encouraging to everybody. And it shows... all this hard work is paying off. So I really wanted to let everyone know that, these numbers don't lie, and the numbers are all good. So I wanted to commend you for that. Also, on the volunteer hours, 1,351 hours in a short month. We're talking 28 days, don't we? 28 days.
Imagine what it would have been with two more days in a month.
Yeah, if it was a 31-day month, look out. Since we've got all this data, wouldn't be a bad idea, who's ever doing this and they're really keeping good numbers, can they give me last year's monthly total, like from March? Okay, we did 1,400 last year, or last...
You just want to compare volunteer hours this year to the same period last year.
To a year ago. I want to see the progress.
Has he been here a year? I don't think he's been here.
Yeah.
He started
close.
Well, he started in, I want to say January, February 2014. Mm-hmm. But there's enough that we can go back a year at this point. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, at this point, okay. Yeah. So,
I think it's been included in prior director reports, too.
It may have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, he's
right.
Spoken about it before.
It's in every single director report since...
Since
here
the
yeah.
world.
So those are my comments. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Any other comments, questions, concerns? All right, if I can have a motion to receive and file.
I make that motion.
If I can get a second. All in favor? Any opposed? All righty, now on to old business. Number one, staff referrals. Number two, spay neuter funds update.
Now I can speak.
Yes, you may.
All right, and I'll go up to the microphone.
Let's turn it on.
I'll turn it on.
Although I don't think you really need it.
You don't think I need it?
No. It's up to you.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. First of all, before I get into this, I'm going to cheat. Commissioner Blackburn, we were meeting with Supervisor Maggard's Chief of Staff, and as we were walking out, he said, "So when are we going to start talking about going completely no-kill?" And I said, "Right now, let's set a five-year goal." And I think it's doable with the way we're headed in some really good, strong, positive direction with this. And if we can keep it going, it'll be good. So, okay, I set my.
I'm glad he asked the question.
My editorial comment for the night. Now I'll get down to the data. We're plugging along. I think my favorite number here is total surgeries down here, 1,668 since we started with this 250,000. The Marley's Mutts has 770. They were quite busy during the during the spay neuter week. They were really busy with that, doing something somewhere almost every day, and. They have come up with other funding, as I understand it. So they did a whole bunch of surgeries that were outside of the 250,000. So they had to separate them out. Kimberly's been, taking her a while to get through all the reports. She had to make sure everything. Well, the ones she's reporting to us are the ones that they can use this funding for, as opposed to any of the other funding. Right now, our low-income vouchers. We started really issuing them mostly in early February. The expended number is $2,230. I'm expecting that'll be significantly different by the next month. I'm at least hoping so. So other than that, another change is that we've been totally flat in the outlying areas, and we were at like 9,000 expended, and and we were at like 111 surgeries, so we got more in the outlying areas, and that's going to continue to improve. Also, because we have our coach that is booked for almost at least twice a month through the end of the year to go to outlying areas, we're moving forward, and I think that we're doing pretty well with this, and I'm excited. I got a call from someone who wants to sell the shelter something, and she talked about being an animal lover and things that she had done, and I spent about 15 minutes ringing her ear about all the exciting things that we're doing. So it's like, I'm gushing like a kid. So.
We like to see you gush.
So, does anybody have any questions about this? About the data, about the numbers. Did I miss anything?
Well, can I ask something?
Sure.
You say something about beyond the no-kill.
Yes.
Does that do any dangerous dog hearings? And
oh, absolutely not. We're talking about no-killing. So we want to be a no-kill shelter, which means that the only animals that we euthanize are animals that are either sick or they would be humane euthanization. And as I understand it, a no-kill shelter is one that is at less than 10% euthanization.
Right.
Definition of no-kill varies.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, but throughout. We're not going to have any control over your neighbor's dog. Okay.
I'm not getting into that. I was just, if it's a no-kill and you have the dangerous dogs there, then you have housing,
It wouldn't affect that because I mean, if at the end of a dangerous hearing, the dog is deemed to be too dangerous to ever be released to the public, then once again, the humane solution would be euthanasia. But that would also be within the guideline of a no-kill shelter of that less than 10%.
To answer your question, Ms. Haney, a little more succinctly, no-kill means no adoptable animal will be euthanized.
Okay.
A dog that's a dangerous dog or on a dangerous or potentially dangerous or vicious order is not an adoptable dog. It doesn't count.
Except to rescue.
Right.
Or cat.
Still, you've yet to see a dangerous cat. But.
Or start walking.
No, I know these questions we don't know, so we're just asking.
No problem.
And I know if it's kind of offensive to some people.
No, it's not.
I feel like I...
No, it's just that there's a procedure and a process that we are totally not following tonight, I might add. Okay?
Be on cell phones either.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who's on a cell phone?
Oh, there's people on cell phones.
Okay, well.
And at our hearing, there was somebody on a cell phone too. So, I mean, if you're going by certain protocol, you need to stick by that.
Right.
Okay.
Right, which means that when 2 minutes are up, 2 minutes are up, whether you've got to stop talking or not.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Any more questions for me that are relevant to the stuff that I know and that I spend my life trying to keep track of?
Thanks, Blake.
All right.
Thank you, Blake.
Just a quick clarification.
Yes.
It just means cell phones are supposed to be muted.
Muted. And if you're talking about me looking at mine, I use it as a timer.
None of you.
Okay.
Because I just get information out of mine.
Oh, no.
I got my computer going.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. No, but you know when it's...
We don't want to bring you.
Yeah.
We don't want to bring you.
Somebody wants to have a conversation, they can leave the room.
That's right.
All right, cool. Thank you, Blake. Okay, Spain of your funds update. France.
Hi.
Yes, you have to. You must.
You're not very loud, though, so you're going to have to turn the mic on.
I'm not very loud, sure.
Seriously?
Okay, Judy Donnell, Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation. April 18 is a Saturday next month. God, I can't believe it. We are having a dedication ceremony at the Lake Isabella shelter to dedicate the shade structure that we put up in August, September. And so it'll be from 10 to 2 at the shelter. We'll have our booth up there and food and things to do and the tag machine.
Vouchers.
Yeah. So if you want to make it, hopefully the weather's good, then make a trek up and come and visit us up there and see this. We put the play yard in, I think it was 2009, I think, and then did the shade this year. So I'd like people to come up and check it out.
And that's on what date?
It's Saturday, April 18.
Right.
What time?
10 to 2.
10 to 2?
10 to 2. At least that was the last time I saw the flyer, so we're still working on. What else? Not a whole lot else. The clips are at Tractor Supply. We got the first box of 50 and the other whatever's left from the 221 that we ordered will be picked up this week and dropped off and distributed out. And now that I have more details on what I need to buy for the TV, then we're doing a 42-inch not smart TV.
Yeah, you don't want a smart TV.
No, that's not good. So, yes, we have that laid out. The other thing that we've been doing is we've been partnering with Basic Needs Foundation. Basic Needs is actually out of L.A., and their initial reason for being is to help people who are super low income that need help with whatever, housing help, food help, blankets, whatever. However, what they also noticed when they came up over the hill was that, and mostly in Kern River Valley is where they've been operating, that a lot of the low income people that live in the outlying areas have animals. And so they have gotten some grants, and they're doing spay-neuter. They have specifically for pit bulls, specifically for, I think it's 100? Is it 100 pit bulls? And then other dogs, owned cats, feral cats. And so we are helping with vouchers. Actually, they're paying for it. We're reimbursing them at the voucher rate for the owned animals up there to help their money spread a little further. So they just started really ramping that up. And some of their money is also going, I know Wasco, and I think McFarland, and I think Delano. But I know Wasco and McFarland for sure. They can also qualify for the basic needs, and it's all being done at Critters. Which is why Vicki looks so tired. But yeah, they're all going, everybody comes down to Critters, gets done, and gets back up, and so that's been really helpful, especially up in the valley, because the cost up there is so high. It's just crazy. So that's what we've been doing.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We have no new business. So the next item is our adjournment until Wednesday, April 15th.
Everyone's yeah. I don't know if we should celebrate or cry.
Okay.
Tax day. Tax day.
Okay.
As I read the summary proceedings from last meeting, there was something about a 2014 report that the commission was going to submit to the board.
We're still working on it.
Okay, because it said that it was going to be discussed at the next meeting, and I didn't see it on the agenda.
It wasn't on the agenda, so we're working on it with staff. And so we've got that and a letter that we drafted that we're kind of holding off for about 30 days, and then we'll present. Okay, so do I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Same bad time, same bad channel.